Tom Appel's back, publisher of the Consumer Guide Automotive and the host of the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast. ConsumerGuide.com is his website. Hi, Tom. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
Got a question about this. I saw the president was talking about it the other day. They want to roll back federal fuel economy rules for passenger vehicles. And I'll just quote from this story in the Wall Street Journal. Months after Congress and Trump administration this summer essentially nullified the mandates known as the Corporate Average Fuel Economy Rule, or CAFE, by eliminating the fines for violating them, under these new changes, the federal government would require an average of 34.5 miles a gallon for vehicles by model year 2031, down from 50.4 set by the Biden administration. Are you telling me that in the Biden administration, they said that over the next 6 years, fleets of vehicles will have to average 50 miles per gallon?
That was the target number, and it seems high. But the thing to remember about that big number is that it included electric vehicles. And electric vehicles do a great deal to offset and improve that number. Every vehicle, electric or not, is assigned either an MPG number or an MPGE, that's miles per gallon equivalent number. And I'm currently driving the Nissan Leaf, which is an electric vehicle, and it has an MPGE number of 124. So 124. So that number has a huge impact on the old, on the overall average. And now that we're disincentivizing the purchase of electric vehicles, lowering that number almost makes sense.
So if I've got 124 on your car, I could go ahead and buy an SUV that gets 20 miles a gallon. Add those together, that's 140 divided by 2. I'm still at 70 on average for my fleet now, right?
Yep, that's exactly the way that was going to work. And General Motors, for example, started to sell a fair number of electric vehicles. What was happening was that companies like General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis were purchasing tax credits from electric companies, that are electric vehicle manufacturers, and now they won't have to do that.
This is the equivalent of a tax credit, but I'm not against tax credits, for instance, or carbon swaps. So what will the net effect of this be? I mean, for me, the consumer, does this affect like those of us that are just going to buy a car on the lot, or is this for companies that buy 100 cars?
This is going to have very little impact at all in the near and even midterm. Auto companies move very slowly when it comes to updating technology or changing their product lineup. It takes 5 years at least to develop a new product and get it to market. So the impact of anything that we're driving now or even next generation will be minimal. And you'll find that the manufacturers are sandbagging on changing anyway because they don't know what's going to happen with the next administration.
Right. Right. So the next guy comes in and goes, no, I wanted 100 miles per gallon. And they go, oh, we thought it was 30. So best to target, stay where you are. There's no harm in having the equivalent be 50. I mean, that's a good thing anyway, right?
Yeah, the target was good. The target was noble. It was probably going to be tough to do even with the tax credits on electric vehicles in place. And manufacturers were talking about how tough that was going to be. And they were looking for a little relief. And generally that relief isn't to lower the number, but to push back the year that the number was going to kick in. And most manufacturers wanted another 2 or 3 years to get there.
You're driving that Leaf. Are you in the Chicago area today?
I am indeed.
So how's that operating? What's your battery drain like today?
Interestingly, when EVs first hit the market, the impact of cold weather on range was profound, as much as 30%. I'm not seeing anywhere near that kind of impact now, more like 15-20%. So I'm generally impressed with this vehicle, and I'm generally impressed by the range.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they talked about these batteries and the recycling of the batteries and how dangerous it is for the people in African nations who are tasked with, who have the job of smashing them to pieces, pulling out the parts, and recycling the materials in batteries. They said that the idea that it's clean is kind of misses the point that it's also environmentally bad for the people that are making or recycling these batteries, and it's bad for the environment they live in. Are you up to speed on all of that?
A little bit. And one of the things that coming out of car batteries, too, or actually going into car batteries, is lithium. And lithium is essential to these high-performance batteries. And lithium is kind of messy stuff to get out of the ground, unfortunately. And it requires a great deal of water that is then contaminated, basically. So, yeah, there are parts. It is almost core to the electric car mission that we do recycle the batteries if we're going to be efficient about it. And, yeah, I think something has to be done to make recycling them just a little bit cleaner.
Made me rethink the idea. I don't have an electric car, but I'm sure one's in my future, and it made me think twice about it. If nothing else, it made me think I'll get a hybrid. You know, I had a Prius once, and it was that. Got great gas mileage, and it had the battery if I needed it, right?
Yeah, and the thing about hybrids, too, is they use batteries as well. They're just smaller batteries. So the same story is there. It's just a little bit better contained. But we are talking primarily about lithium-ion batteries, even in hybrids.
What does that mean to me?
That's the same battery that you'll find in regular electric vehicles, so they will need to be recycled.
All right, well, then I'll just get a Hummer. How about that? I saw one the other day. Are those still out there? Do they still making a go of it, the Hummers?
It's funny you would mention that. I'm driving the Hummer 3X pickup right now.
And
yeah, interesting vehicle. It's a giant EV pickup truck, and it is drivability is fantastic. It's a wonderful thing to drive. It's not especially energy efficient, however, even for an electric vehicle. More efficient than a gas or diesel powered vehicle, but it is huge and it's a little over the top.
What do you get more looks from other drivers from, driving that or driving a Tesla pickup?
I think the Cybertruck is still just rare enough that it turns people's heads.
Rare and weird enough, yeah. All right.
Weird enough, yeah.
I just wanted to better understand this story, Tom. You're real good at that. I appreciate your help today.
Oh,
Tom Appel, happy holidays. He's the publisher of the Consumer Guide of Consumer Guide Automotive, and he's the host of the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast.